Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm telling you what, if there was some way that I could, in fact, quarantine, sequester, and I mean not leave my house, it would be hard to do because I love to exercise outside, and I'm not really sure what I would do about Penny. But we do have a backyard, so I suppose, I can go my own backyard. The only problem is the dog does not poop within five blocks of our house, so that could be a bit of a problem. Whatever, I'll find someone to walk the dog. But I wish it was that easy. I wish I could offer to make the 3 week sacrifice or even a month so that we could be guaranteed a football. I obviously have zero control and that option does not exist. I wish it were that simple, but it seems like nothing in 2020 is as simple as it used to be. And that's funny to say, right? Because life is not simple. Life is tough. It's challenging. It's flat out hard. But gosh, I think back to the end of February, the beginning of March. I think back to October and the incredible baseball postseason we had even a year ago, two brand new champions in the NBA and the NHL. The Houston Astros being the most important thing, I'm using my air quotations, the most important thing in sports. It's almost hard to put myself back in those places where that was the concern and that was the focus and there was no thought of the virus. When was the last time you had even an hour where you didn't think about the virus or the implications? So maybe not worrying about COVID-19 specifically, but the implications of the virus. There's no place in my job where I can go and not think about it. And now I've gotten to the point where I brace for the other shoe, the next shoe. I have a lot of shoes, where I brace for the next shoe to drop. And yet again on Thursday, there were a couple more. Not fatal blows, but they definitely packed a punch. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. You know what? Really quickly, it will literally take 20 seconds. A piece of good news just to counter what's the bad news that I'm about to share with you. My mom has a former student who spent the last year going through treatment for cancer. And it was considered to be a pretty extensive surgery and treatment, lasted for more than a year. We prayed, a lot of people were praying for him the whole time. His name, Nick, he turned 19 this week and got the news he is cancer-free. How about that? Isn't that amazing? I love celebrating stories like that. So there are always positive things that we can share and that we can focus on. But gosh, it certainly does feel like in 2020, it's been more of the opposite. Thank you for listening anyway. On that bright note, I hate to be a Debbie Downer on your Friday morning, but at least we can celebrate someone being cancer-free. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. We're live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios. Need to know what it takes for a home loan to fit your budget and your family? Rocket can. Your reaction to the Big Ten deciding no non-conference games. It seems, I guess if you want to take it and run with it, that this could be the start of a bunch of dominoes dropping, or even backing it up further, the Ivy League on Wednesday saying that they were going to do away with all of their sports in the fall semester and forget conference, non-conference. Nope, it's all been wiped out until after January 1st. So if you look at that as the first domino, the next day, the Big Ten decides to cancel all of its non-conference opponents, 36 different football games that are affected. It might be easy to think, okay, another day, another domino. I don't know that that's the case, but I wouldn't be surprised if other conferences took this step. Now, right now, the SEC, they're, at least according to reports, one particular athletic director quoted by ESPN saying, we're not in that place. We're planning on holding all of our football games, including non-conference. The Big 12 commissioner, Bob Bowlsby, seemed surprised by this announcement from the Big Ten and from Kevin Warren, who is the commissioner on the Big Ten Network. They're supposed to be working together. I think that they're the Power Five commissioners. They try to collaborate because what's in the best interest of one is generally in the best interest of the other, and they're stronger together. But in this particular case, they may not all be on the same page. It sounds like they're not all on the same page. And Kevin Warren and the Big Ten schools, the member schools, which would be presidents, athletic directors, they decided that they couldn't wait any longer.
From a collaborative basis, being in communication on a regular basis with our chancellors, our presidents, our athletic directors, our head football coaches, that the time had come for us to make an announcement. I mean, this allows us to be able to just take another step in this entire process. I mean, this is a complicated time, complicated world that we're living in with the COVID-19 pandemic. And so what we're doing is relying on the expert advice of our medical advisors. You know, we have our Big Ten Emerging Infectious Disease Committee and also all of our other Big Ten doctors and trainers. And so we made a vow early on that first and foremost, we would put the health, the safety, and the wellness of our student athletes at the center of all of our decisions. So we felt that this was an appropriate time to make this announcement.
Again, the other conferences, Power Five conferences, have not taken this step. And according to Bob Bowlsby of the Big 12, they do have a potential conference-only schedule that they've already laid out if they have to take that step themselves. But doesn't sound like at least the Big 12 is making that particular move anytime soon. That they are still hoping they can get in other games. They're still working toward that goal. So the timing is unique for the Big Ten. And certainly the Big Ten's announcement affects some of the other Power Five conferences just because they've got games scheduled. Iowa State, Iowa, Maryland, West Virginia, those are two that affect the Big 12. Ohio State was supposed to play at Oregon, so there's a game that affects the Pac-12. Another one that was huge, Wisconsin, Notre Dame at Lambeau Field in October. So there are some high-profile games that will be lost. Why do it then? Why only do non-conference as opposed to conference? And Kevin Warren was asked the factors that went into this decision, again, on the Big Ten Network.
One of the things that was most important to us was the flexibility of scheduling all the operations. You know, it's much easier if we're just working with our Big Ten institutions from a scheduling standpoint, from a traveling standpoint, you know, all of those issues that go into having our student athletes compete. And because otherwise, when you start working outside your conference, you put yourself in a position where there are enough issues that we're dealing with already. But then you add on top of it the issues of travel and just the logistics associated with it. And so we felt that at the end of the day, this decision would allow us to, one, do the right thing by our student athletes, keep them at the forefront of all of our decisions, and make sure we create an environment to give us the best chance to play. I mean, one thing we have to realize that this is not a fait accompli that we're going to have sports in the fall. We may not have sports in the fall. We may not have a college football season in the Big Ten. And so we just wanted to make sure that this was the next logical step to always to rely on our medical experts to keep our student athletes at the center of all of our decisions and make sure that they are as healthy as they possibly can be from a mental, a physical, and emotional health and wellness standpoint.
Kevin Warren, the Big Ten commissioner on the Big Ten Network. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. After listening to that particular soundbite a couple of times, a couple of things popped in my brain. Number one, they believe inside the Big Ten that making this change actually helps them preserve the rest of the college season or as much of the college season as they possibly can. He mentions flexibility more than once. You know what else pops in my brain is control. The Big Ten wants to be able to control the environment as much as possible. And certainly there will be travel that's required from Big Ten school to Big Ten school. But if they're all operating under the same protocols, it makes it a little easier to control the environments. Not the same if they're traveling outside of conference. But I really think when he says it's about flexibility, yeah, what do we know about this spring and this early summer? You have to be able to adjust on the fly. We don't have answers to all of our questions. We think we figure it out, and then a week down the road, everything changes again. I mean, it's been that way for our radio show. Every time I think we've got personnel, we've got people to help, we've got hours that work, we've got equipment, la, 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 something else happens. The company sends us another memo. I mean, just this is what happens. The numbers change. The numbers go up. The numbers go down. There are more protocols. There are more health and safety guidelines. If you're locked into a 12-game schedule, a 13-game schedule, and that includes non-conference games, well, then you don't have the flexibility to move around your conference slate. You don't have the flexibility of changing travel plans. You can do that within your own conference schedule. You can't do it when you're dealing with schools that are not inside your group, your conference. They're not in your circle. And so I like what Kevin Warren had to say. And here's the last thing. As I've heard him speak a couple of times, we played the sound bites on the show. Kevin Warren, the other Power Five commissioners, care far more about getting college football on the field this year than even the most diehard, passionate, and committed fans. I promise you that. Your entire athletic department budget doesn't depend on college football. It does for these member schools. It does for Gene Smith of Ohio State. It does for name your favorite institution. They need football in a way that you do not. They need the money generated by football in a way that is irrelevant to most of us. Now, while they likely, I think most of them, would be able to withstand a year if something happened and not have to start cutting sports, we've already seen that in some universities, in some areas, because where football is revenue producing very often, we had one caller say this earlier, and I know this was the case for some of the schools that I've worked with all along the way in my career. The football revenue buys new uniforms for the soccer team. The football revenue pays for the travel of the cross-country team, the track and field teams. That football revenue it's vital. It's dire if they don't have it. And so these commissioners are not, at least Kevin Warren, believe him when he says they want the flexibility. They're not taking a preemptive strike here and hoping that the other schools follow, that they're all on equal footing. I mean, no, this is about them doing what they can to preserve the meat of the college football season. Trust me, they want it far more than you do. In fact, I bet he'd be willing to quarantine for 3 weeks and only walk his dog around his backyard and have someone else deliver his groceries. You can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio, also on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Coming up, I'm going to pivot a bit. I really want you to hear what Julian Edelman had to say on his Instagram about DeSean Jackson and to DeSean Jackson. And the reason why I'm singling out this bit of audio is because it wasn't critical. It wasn't angry. It wasn't divisive. Instead, it was the complete opposite. So whereas DeSean Jackson has been bombarded by criticism, and you know what? He deserves it. He deserves it. He brought this upon himself. Julian Edelman takes a different approach and actually finds common ties. And so I really appreciated his thoughtfulness as well as his invitation. So I want you to hear from Julian Edelman as he addresses DeSean Jackson on Instagram. And we can also take your calls, 855-212-4227, 855-212-4CBS. Practices are underway in the Orlando bubble as the final NBA teams have all arrived. On Thursday, it was the Lakers, the Rockets, the world champion Raptors, the last groups. They went through their intake testing, and as soon as they pass, they'll be granted entrance into the bubble. So the NBA teams have all arrived. MLS, they played their second game on Thursday, but they also had a second team that they removed. Nashville had too many positive tests, and they said Nashville couldn't participate in their big tournament. So every day there's more news. Don't ever tell me there's nothing to talk about, because there's more that I can even keep up with. Oh, Tiger Woods, by the way, returning next week.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
There have been a lot of people who believe DeSean Jackson's apology on Instagram was sincere, and that when he says, "This isn't just I'm sorry, this is a promise to do better," that he meant what he said. And I can only imagine that Jeffrey Lurie, the Eagles team owner, Howie Roseman, his general manager, his quarterback in Carson Wentz, all these people that he's met with and talked to, that has been a bit of a come to Jesus moment for DeSean Jackson. And whether he's guilty of just not knowing his history, whatever the case is, I mean, there's no excuse for what he said, no excuse for how he doubled down with this fake Hitler quote. There's no bailing him out. And so he deserves all the criticism that he has gotten. And he does sound contrite. I don't know how you cannot, considering how much he has been under fire in the last several days. Not sure if the Eagles are going to make any personnel moves. They just brought him back for his second stint. And, of course, they went through the Riley Cooper situation without getting rid of their tight end after their wide receiver, after he was caught on camera using the N-word at a concert, I believe it was. And so the Eagles are also the team that brought Michael Vick onto their roster after he had gotten out of federal prison. So the Eagles have gone through some of these situations before, and they've weathered the PR storms and the backlash. And generally, they stand behind their guys. And so we'll see what happens with DeSean Jackson. But as I say, he deserves all the criticism that he has received. What does he do from this point moving forward? Well, Julian Edelman has an idea. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. I've trimmed this down a little bit, so it's not the full Julian Edelman video that he posted on Instagram, but the meat of it's there, and it's thoughtful, and it's different. It's not divisive, and it's also not critical. It's the complete opposite, which I appreciated.
I'm proud of my Jewish heritage, and for me, it's not just about religion. It's about community and culture as well. I'm unusual, because I didn't identify as Jewish until later in my life. Whenever I encountered hatred, it never really felt like it was aimed at me. It was only after I was part of this community that I learned how destructive hate is. Anti-Semitism is one of the oldest forms of hatred. It's rooted in ignorance and fear. I remember experiencing a little bit of this hate in 2011 when I was called a on the football field. There's no room for anti-Semitism in this world. Even though we're talking about anti-Semitism, I don't want to distract from how important the Black Lives Matter movement is and how we need to stay behind it. I think the Black and Jewish communities have a lot of similarities. One unfortunate similarity is that they are both attacked by the ignorant and the hateful. It's really hard to see the challenges a community can face when you're not part of it. So what we need to do is we need to listen, we need to learn, We need to act. We need to have those uncomfortable conversations if we're going to have real change. Deshaun, let's do a deal. How about we go to D.C. and I take you to the Holocaust Museum, and then you take me to the Museum of African American History and Culture. Afterwards, we grab some burgers and we have those uncomfortable conversations. This world needs a little more love, compassion, and empathy.
I absolutely love these comments from Julian Edelman for a lot of reasons. A, he's not popping off in emotion. I mean, he's clearly put a lot of thought into his comments. He's measured. He's genuine. He's sincere. He's telling a part of his story, but also saying to Deshaun and to other African Americans, many of whom he plays with and works with on a regular basis, he's saying, hey, we actually can identify and relate to one another because both of our people groups have been persecuted for things that are completely out of our control, our heritage, our skin color, things that we didn't choose and can do nothing about. And so for Julian to say, hey, we can actually come together as opposed to criticizing Deshaun, which, as I say, he deserves. Julian doesn't just talk the talk. He's also walking the walk. And how often, and I'm not, I don't mean athletes, I mean general society, human beings, how often do we say one thing and then do another? We preach about inclusivity. We preach about love and understanding and conversation. But are we really willing to put our money where our mouths are, essentially? Are we really willing to take the hard steps? It's one thing to talk about it, preach about it on your social media, judge people who aren't doing it. It's entirely another, in your opinion, they're not doing it. It's entirely another to actually take those steps and, as Julian says, have uncomfortable conversations. Because they're not comfortable. When we come face-to-face with either our own biases or prejudices or the things that we don't understand. I mean, clearly there were things that Deshaun Jackson did not understand about Hitler's philosophy, about his actions, about what he was really trying to do in you know, wiping out the Jewish race. And I hope he's gotten the education. He says that he's working on that, which I think is great. But also, how about having one of your peers walk through it with you? I mean, Julian's not saying, yo, show up at the Holocaust Museum and educate yourself. He could have said that. I bet there are a lot of people out there who did say that. No, Julian's saying, hey, let's do this together. I'll go with you, you go with me, and then we're going to talk about it. And yeah, it's easy to sit on our social media and fire shots over the wall. It's easy to point to somebody else and say, fix that. You got a problem, fix it. But to actually offer to help them fix it and to do it for the entire world to hear so that you have to be accountable, it's smart. It's smart and it's compassionate. And I can promise you, in the world of social media, one thing that Deshaun hasn't gotten a lot of in the last 3 days is compassion. Compassion is not in vogue. It's out of style. And it sure the hell isn't found on social media very often. And so while the majority of the world is firing shots at Deshaun, and again, he put himself in this position. I'm not saying he doesn't deserve it. But Julian's taking a different approach. And that's why it stood out to me. And that's why I appreciate it. So I hope Deshaun takes him up on that. I think that's amazing. That comes from Edelman's Instagram. Mom's favorite football player, by the way. I'll have to tell her so that she can go. And she does. I'm trying to think if my mom would have any idea what Instagram is. She definitely knows what Twitter is because I talk about it on the show. She definitely knows what Facebook is because she uses mine. My mother uses my Facebook. So she stays logged into it. And every now and then, if I change the password, she'll call me up and say, hey, what's the password for your Facebook account? Really, Mom? But she likes to go because I'm, you know, still in touch with some high school friends or, you know, former teachers at our school where we went. And so my mom uses my Facebook, so she certainly knows what that is. She has no idea what TikTok is. She just got introduced to YouTube over the course of the spring because that's where she had to post her teaching videos when everybody went remote. Instagram, probably no chance. That's going to be a fun conversation. Maybe I'll ask her and I'll record it for the radio. Ooh, but then she gets mad at me. She gets so mad at me. All right, it's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. Coming up, just a portion of my conversation with Dani Wolniak, who joined us from Kansas City. She's the KCTV5 sports director. Played football herself, by the way, and actually has a Super Bowl ring, which is kind of cool. But I want you to hear part of the conversation where I asked her about the Big 12 reaction to the Big 10 announcement that was made on Thursday. So just a few minutes of that.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
A portion of Kevin Warren's comments on the Big Ten Network as the commissioner of that Power Five conference makes the announcement that they will not have non-conference games. And instead, there is hope this allows them the flexibility and the control to get the rest of their games on the field, to get through the rest of their schedule. And certainly, if you think about having all the same protocols for every member of the conference, it at least eliminates having to worry about going elsewhere or having other schools come in and not everybody following the same rules and guidelines. I mean, control is, it's so fleeting during the pandemic that you want to try to find it wherever you possibly can. On Twitter, A-Law Radio. Also on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. I can understand those of you college football fans panicking a bit over the news in the last 48 hours, but I still say these commissioners care far more about getting football on the field than even you do. Earlier in the show, it was really good to spend some time talking to KCTV Channel 5 sports director, Dani Wolniak. And she not only played football herself, so we had a really good time talking about Patrick Mahomes, and she's a former receiver and running back, and what does it mean to have a quarterback like that? But in addition, because she's right there in the heartland, I wanted to ask her about the reaction to the Big Ten announcement. So we pick up just a portion of our conversation as I ask her the reaction inside Big 12 country.
It was very strange because I think, so here in Kansas City, we cover K-State, KU, and also Mizzou, which is in Columbia, Missouri. So you have SEC kind of country as well. And so Bob Boolsby from the Big 12 ended up issuing a statement. He seemed very taken aback by the fact that he was going to have to make a decision about non-con games and fall sports. And then when it came to Jim Stirk, the athletic director for Missouri, we had a chance to talk to him today, too. And he said, you know, it's not really unexpected for this stuff to happen, but we're going to have more meetings and more, you know, Zoom calls in the future to try to figure out our course of action within the SEC. So we don't know what we're doing just yet. So I think that there are a lot of the Power Five conference, you know, athletic directors, commissioners that are trying to kind of delay the inevitable, I guess you could say, because you see the domino effect starting to happen. And I relate it back to the NCAA tournament where you had the conference tournament start canceling. The Ivy League was the first one to do so. Right. And then you just started seeing this domino effect. And then it ended up getting back to the Big 12 in the Kansas City area and all across the country. And I think that's what you're going to end up seeing with fall sports and with college football as well, which is unfortunate and nobody wants to hear that. But if you can get some kind of college football in, I think that's a huge deal for these, for the Power Five conferences, because they rely so heavily on the income that the football seasons bring. So I think Big 12 is trying to push this off as long as possible and maybe have to pull the trigger very last. Maybe the SEC feels the same way because Jim Stirk seemed a little taken aback by it. But I think that it's going to end up being that domino effect like we saw during the NCAA tournament, Amy.
Ah, That's so, it's just sad. It's discouraging, but I'm with you. I'd rather take some football than no football, even if it's without fans. Danny Welniak from Kansas City with us here after hours. So I just have about 60 seconds. How much buzz around the Royals right now?
It's kind of weird because obviously with the 60-game season, the Royals haven't been great over the past couple of years, but they believe, a lot of the fans here believe that they actually have a shot at doing well, because it's more of a sprint and the bullpen's kind of set up to be successful with a shorter season. So there is hope and there's optimism here in Kansas City. And just the fact that you're going to have baseball back when we weren't sure we were going to have it is huge. So I think most of the people around here are pretty excited to see what the Royals got in the tank. New manager in Mike Matheny and a couple new faces as well. So should be fun.
And Mike, of course, brings some credibility from his time with the Cardinals. All right. You can find Danny on Twitter at KCTV Danny, D-A-N-I. She's the sports director for KCTV with a lot going on there in Kansas City. Danny, thanks so much for a couple of minutes, especially for staying up with us and coming on live.
Hey, you bet. Anytime.
It was cool to connect with Danny, and I highly recommend the rest of our conversation. She did join us live in our first hour, which was great. But I asked her about the Mahomes contract, the reaction, but also from her perspective of having played in a women's Super Bowl. She was a Pro Bowler, a captain for the Dallas Diamonds going back about a decade, and has a Super Bowl ring, and asked her to compare covering a Super Bowl win with experiencing that on her own. It was a really cool answer as well. So check it out with Danny on our podcast, After Hours, AmyLawrence.com. Our phone number is 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4CBS. And it's sponsored by Geico. Did you know right now, Geico offers an extra 15% credit on car, motorcycle, and RV policies. And that's on top of what Geico can already save you. So what are you waiting for? Visit Geico.com to learn more. We've actually learned tonight that there's no such thing as a Moster Pit. You'd have to go back, I think it was last hour, about this time to know what we're talking about. What else do we I was not in the mood to be depressed by sports earlier in the show. I'm really not in the mood for it now either. But we also talked about this new menu item that Taco Bell has made available, the grilled cheese burrito. And we got a full review from a listener who was hanging out, listening to the show. And so that was fun too. And the top foods, let me qualify. The top foods that were ordered through food delivery services in the first 6 months of 2020. Also fascinating. Number one on the list, the chicken sandwich. It's timeless. Let's talk to Roger, who's in Washington. Welcome to After Hours, CBS Sports Radio.
Yeah, the last time we talked, the Monkey Man was looking for a head coach. I'm talking about Mike McCarthy and all that good deal, and things have sure changed since then. All this talk about what to do and what not to do just sounds plumb dumb to me. You know what I'm saying? Because they'll tell you one thing one time and another thing the next, and you don't know whether you're coming or going. You know what I'm saying? If we wanted to nip this thing in the bud, we need to isolate for 2 weeks right off the bat, okay?
Wait, who's right we? Now, wait, oh, hold on. Who's
I'm
we?
I'm talking about the United States, the whole country,
all
the whole
us?
World.
2 weeks. That'll the fix whole world. It?
Well, I talked to a friend of mine, and his brother is a doctor, and he flies around, and he got back from Miami, and this is right when the NCAA shut down, you know what I'm saying? And he said that, like, the virus is supposed to last for 2 weeks, okay? If it lasts for 2 weeks, we need to shut everything down for 2 weeks and let it ride its course out. Now we're just passing it back and forth so much, I don't see how we're going to shut down. Especially playing football, the way I was brought up to play football, you don't play football standing 6 feet away from each other. You know what I'm saying?
Or I basketball. I do know what you're saying.
Or any other sport. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And all these little steps they're taking are just feel-good steps to make themselves feel better. You know what I'm saying? It's not going to do anything, okay?
Well, so here's – Roger, hold on. Here's the deal. If you don't have the virus, you can't pass it. Would you at least agree on that? If you don't have the virus, you can't give it to someone else, correct?
That is correct. Okay. I would agree with that.
Good. So that is the point of all the testing. That is the point of finding the virus, testing everyone before they, and then doing it again and again and again and again before they get into the bubble, before they get into their facilities, before they would play any games. Because I would agree with you, if someone has the virus, it's impossible to keep your distance on a football field. But it's also impossible to pass the virus around if nobody has it.
That's true, but I think a lot more people have it than we realize. You know what I'm saying? It's out there. You know what I'm saying?
Well, but they're not allowing anyone to participate. Well, sure, there are probably some Americans out there who have it, who haven't been tested, but they're not allowing any athletes or coaches or league and team officials anywhere near these competitions unless they've been tested repeatedly. And I mean every day and then some. In some cases, they have to get tested more than once to confirm a result. And so that's kind of my point, is we're not talking about average walk of life here. We're talking about stringent testing, unlike what most Americans are going through.
Yes, ma'am. That is great in theory, and I hope it works out. I hope no one else gets sick, and I hope we all have some good sports for people to watch. But, you know, let's be practical and have common sense here just in real life with this and anything else. And hopefully people start being more clean and more, you know, thoughtful of others and their, mm-hmm. and what they say about the others, where it's like what the guy said about racism and all that stuff, or how we treat each other when we're sick. You know, I got mono when I was in first year in college, got down to 150 pounds. And I self-isolated for 3 weeks, you know, got down, had 103 temperature. And at the same time, the school I was going to turned out to be the HIV capital of North America. You know what I'm saying? And they had to shut down their football program. So I'll talk to you later, okay? You have a good night, okay?
Okay, Roger. Thank you for calling. Hope you got some stuff off your chest there. Yeah, I mean, I totally understand that in football, it's impossible to keep your distance. In basketball, it's not as much of a contact sport as it used to be, sadly. But it is, in fact, a contact sport. Hockey, same thing. And while they wear more clothing than they do in the other sports, I mean, we're still talking about the exchange of bodily fluids. Though I guess, theoretically, in hockey, I don't know if they can extend the face masks any farther. But, I mean, there at least is a face covering of some sort that maybe lends itself to being extended. I don't know how practical that is, but in basketball and football, they're just out there and they're completely exposed. Agreed. But as I've said to my Grammy, when she, you know, she tells me all the time that she's afraid. And I understand that. She spends a lot of time watching the news. She's 98 years old. She's been locked down for almost 4 months. So I do understand that there's fear there. But I say to her as gently and as kindly as I can, Grammy, they've tested everybody. At your assisted living facility. They've tested all the staffers. They've tested all the residents twice. In fact, I think they have another round coming up. No one has the virus. If no one has the virus, you can't catch it from anyone. And so I just try to remind her of that. And that's where these sports are going. Now, is there a likelihood that there are going to be athletes that have the virus? Sure. I mean, every day in Major League Baseball, we were just talking to Danny about the Royals. They had two guys who tested positive for the virus, and one of them was so stunned, he had no symptoms. He has no idea where he got it. So yeah, I get it. There are going to be guys who come down with it. There are going to be females. WNBA is trying to start up in Orlando. We've got the NWSL, women's soccer, that's taking place. So yeah, there are going to be people who come down with it. The point of the testing is you catch it before they get on the field and have the easy access, the bodily fluids flying around. And here's, I'll, you know, I'm going to end on an encouraging note, because at least it encourages me. Something that I would say that gives me hope. The return of the MLS has been messy and chaotic. In some rooms, you might even call it a disaster. Two full teams have had to pull out of this World Cup style tournament in Orlando. Nashville getting the news yesterday because both Dallas and Nashville had a mini outbreak. It wasn't the entire team, but a handful of players who ended up with the virus. And MLS was very clear. You cannot come into this bubble. You cannot participate if you have virus cases, you know, more than one isolated case. So they've already had two teams pull out. They've had to completely change their schedule, and they've had delays in testing. It's just been a mess. The whole thing's been a mess. Not organized. And yet, despite all of that, the tournament is underway. Two games already in the books. And they've got a full slate scheduled for the weekend. Could more things go wrong? Absolutely. Could more people get the virus? Yes. But they've weathered this tropical storm. And it's encouraging that they haven't had to close the doors. They haven't had to completely call off the event. And we've seen the same in other sports. Golf, NASCAR, UFC. How much more of a contact sport can you get than UFC? All of those sports have had positive tests, and they've done what they needed to do. They've isolated the people who had them. They've kept them away. Thankfully, there hasn't been an outbreak, and they've kept operating. So yeah, it's likely that we're going to see cases of the virus in basketball, maybe before they get into Orlando, in hockey, in football. But thankfully, one positive case, even a group of athletes on the same team all coming down with the virus, doesn't necessarily mean they all shut down. So there are ways to keep going, even if there's a test or one team that has a bunch of positive tests. And so that's encouraging to me. They got to roll with the punches, and that's not easy to do. It's not easy for any of us. We've all been doing it for the last 4 months, for sure. Thanks so much for joining us. I hope you have an awesome weekend. If you're in the path of Tropical Storm Faye, grab your umbrella. We'll talk to you Sunday night after hours on CBS Sports Radio. Boom!
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.